if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com, and today we'll do the April 2024 regulatory update. Okay, before to start, so let's talk about our sponsor, MedBoard. So who is MedBoard?
MedBoard, the regulatory research and intelligence platform, is focused on solving the problem with increasing news and data and new requirements, as regulatory intelligence, post-market surveillance, clinical literature review, and many more. We are making trusted medtech information and data more accessible, creating the largest information portal search and the best tools for review, intelligence, and portfolio management. We are already changing people's lives like you by reducing tedious manual and repetitive work or saving much time. Contact us at medboard.com to learn more about us and do a free trial.
Okay, in Europe, we'll start with a change. So recently we talked about languages for MDR and IVDR. So we are waiting for a kind of guidance from MDCG about, from the European Commission about which languages are authorized in each country for medical devices. It was really difficult because people are asking, oh, is English authorized? And we had a lot of countries that says, no, English is not authorized. And we have just now got an update due to the French authority. So I'm a French, so it's why it's funny. So the French authority says mainly that yes, English is authorized for certain categories of products that are specifically dedicated, for example, for people that are mainly professionals understanding the English, and that the manufacturer is authorized, is mainly considering that the person has to understand English to use that correctly, etc. So this is just one update in MDR and IVDR. So first, it's interesting because mainly if you don't know, there is now a guidance about languages in the countries. And second, there is each table for MDR and IVDR. There are some columns about which document needs to be on which languages, etc. So then if you forgot, go to that. So thanks for the French authority for reminding us about this with this update. So thanks for them. Okay, now we talk about expert panel. So I don't know if you remember, but the EU MDR and IVDR also included the concept of expert panel. For high-risk devices, those products have to go through an expert panel. I mean, have to. Depends on a lot of criteria here. So what's happening is that we have the EU Commission that created like a document summarizing the situation about expert panel. And it's an interesting document just to understand what kind of products are really going through expert panels. Mainly it should be for MDR, it should be class 3 and class 2B products that are administering or removing medicinal substances from the device, from the body. So those products mainly have to go through expert panels unless some conditions, like if they were sold before under MDD and maybe there is just a small modification under MDR, etc. So the report is concluding two things. First, 94.4% of the products that go through an expert panel are class 3 and implantable devices. Only 5.6% are the class 2B devices that are administering or removing medicinal substances. Second, there is on the class 3 and implantable devices, the top one are active implantable devices. So if you are on a manufacturer of an active implantable device, mainly I think you will go through an expert panel. And those that were exempt, as I've said before, from the expert panel were products that were, as I've said, in three categories, or it's a modification of a device, mainly, and this is a modification of a device that was already marketed, and there are three products: vascular and cardiac prostheses, orthopedic prostheses, osteosynthesis devices, devices for tendons and ligament synthesis, and implantable prosthetics and osteosynthesis devices. So those are devices that usually are exempt from this. So you know that mainly the notified body will receive your application, will check your products, will verify if they have to go to an expert panel, and may decide to then submit that to an expert panel. And the expert panel can say, no, we don't need to go through it because of some exemptions, or yes, we need to go through it. So here with this report, your products may, I mean, if your product is one of those, then maybe it will go through an expert panel, so be ready for it. So Annex 16, so we talk about brain stimulation devices. So you know that within Annex 16, there are multiple additional devices that are here but have no medical purpose at all. And one of them is brain stimulation devices. So the EU Commission asked the CHIR means the Scientific Committee on Health, Environmental and Emerging Risk, to evaluate those brain stimulation devices. So they were classified as class 3 under UMDR with this amendment that was, I mean, this common specification, I think, that was created. Now they are asking, is there really a risk with those devices? Can you make an evaluation of the risk? Is there, tell us more about the impact of those products on our brains and the stimulation that they are providing, etc. So this is something that is planned to be provided by, I don't know if there is a date here, by end of 2025. So 2025 will be the date when they will be defining if brain stimulation is risky or not. So I hope by this date it will not be too late for your brain in case you use these kind of devices. Again, the CHIR committee is providing it's an update of the guideline of Talatz. I tried to read it and to see, mainly it's a draft update, and there was not too much, there are some changes, but not too much. Mainly the conclusions are phthalates are maybe dangerous, but some medical devices cannot remove phthalates because there is no substitute. So they are encouraging manufacturers to try to find some substitute to that to have less risk for those products. So you can still continue to use those phthalates if you have a good justification. And the EU MDR is also asking to have those kind of information on labels above the limit that is defined. So mainly if you are a product contains phthalates, then you can look at this update. And this is an update, a draft update. So it means that there is a consultation actually until the April 28th, 2024, which means that if you have some issues with what they are saying there, then you can provide your comments and your feedback within the website on the show notes. Okay, MDCG agenda. So MDCG, you know, this MDCG is mainly the group that is providing a lot of guidances each time they are providing a new one. So we thought that it would be the end because there are already a lot. I mean, I don't know if you have looked at the MDCG web's page where all the guidances are available. There are a lot, but look at the agenda. You'll see that there are many, many, many more that are coming, so which is interesting. So there are guidances that are planned that are updates, like updates of the risk classification for medical devices. New guidances like the conflict, if there is a conflict or dispute regarding maybe the between notified body maybe and the manufacturer, etc. So there are a lot of new guidances that will be created. So just go and check them. Go on the show notes, click on the PDF. You'll find all those new guidances and check if one of them is one that you are waiting. There are a lot also on vigilance reporting, a lot of PSUR, PMS, etc. So there are still a lot that will come, which was funny a bit because the justification of having the MDR with all those new requirements was, and those additional pages, if I can say, were that it will be more clear and help more the manufacturers. But if you add this amount of guidances, it means that mainly, no, it was not so clear, and you need those guidances to make it clear. So, let's look what they would be providing. a guidance, so then that was issued recently, which is the NDCD 2024-3, which is the CIP guidance, so clinical investigation plan. So it's a guidance on how to do a clinical investigation plan, which is described normally in the EUMDR already, Annex 15, if I can say, or 14, I can't remember, and also described in the ISO 14155, which is the guide, the standard that normally we should follow. So this is an additional guidance to help you understand all these things. It provides also at the end some kind of some kind of listing checklist of all the information that should be normally on the CIP and some explanation of each of those elements. So yeah, if you need to create a clinical investigation plan, then go to this NDCG guidance to understand more about what will be the content. But this is just a guidance. Use EUMDR and use ISO 14155 for mainly having accurate information. Here is just a guidance to help you to apply those standards. Okay, a new notified body, the 44th notified body for MDR, which is RISE. Sweden. Welcome to the team, Rice. So actually the count of notified bodies is, as I've said, 44 for MDR and 12 for IVDR. So I'm always advising, go to the NANDO database, mainly to identify the notified body that you should choose. Again, a reminder, not all notified bodies can help you, because I get a lot of stories from notified bodies that says, I mean, recently, even within one of my calls, that we contacted a notified body and we waited for 6 months, and at the end they said to us, oh no, we cannot help you, we are not qualified for this type of products. I mean, they could have known that already from the beginning. So if you go to the NANDO database, you select the legislation, the 2017-745 or 746. And then you also select the MDR code, so MDN or MDA. MDN is for non-active and MDA is for active devices. Then you select the code that is really matching with your products. You can go also to the NDCG guidance on MDR codes or IVDR codes also, it's existing. And then take this code inside your inside the NANDO database, plus add the Annex 9, because usually everybody goes to Annex 9 for the conformity assessment, and then you'll see a list of notified bodies. So actually there are 44 notified bodies. Maybe when you'll do this exercise, you'll find maybe 12 only, because all the others cannot help you for this type of product. So select the right product by doing that. We also see before, on a survey made regarding notified bodies from Team NB maybe, or from the EU Commissioner, I can't remember. They said mainly that, yeah, one of the reasons that there was some rejection is the fact that the manufacturer didn't select the right notified body also. So check that and avoid this mistake again about, losing some time with some notified bodies. And yeah, this is really important because now time is really short and we'll talk about that just after. UK, so UK MHRA is providing advice on the application for clinical investigation related to active devices, so that are using electrical power. So they are mainly asking you to make an additional documentation related to those active devices with a lot of recommendation of information to be provided related to electrical information or specification or power or whatever. So go on the show notes and just click on this document. This is a PDF where it's mainly providing you like information of what should be on this additional document that you will be providing. But it's mainly what they are saying also, it mainly depends also on the type of device that you have. So it's not prescriptive. So you have to check mainly if this your device is applying to that. And then there is information about description, specification, about all the information that you should provide for this this product. And this is mainly for clinical investigation. So if your products that goes on the clinical investigation is an active electrical power device, then you have to follow this advice. Ireland now. So Ireland is issuing always, the HPRA is issuing always their newsletter. So if you want to keep up to date, so you can follow my channel or if I can follow this podcast, but you have also the HPRA that is providing a newsletter. So I place here the link of the newsletter, but if you go just to the HPRA website, there is on the right side, there is a button for newsletter. You go on newsletters and then you can find all those newsletters that are available there. I try to see a link or maybe something where I can subscribe so that I can receive it by email, but it's not existing. So, I mean, I didn't find it. But yeah, it's providing a lot of information. For this one from this month, we have IVD, discussion, UDAMED, custom made device and clinical trials in Ireland. So this can be a subject that can be interesting for you and help you also to stay up to date for what's happening in Europe, but also what's happening in Ireland. Okay, Turkey now. So Turkey is providing a reminder, mainly. So they say, don't forget that EU MDR transition will stop by the 26th of May 2024 if you don't have the extra transition period, so with the new EU MDR agreement or like you are benefiting from this extension, then your product is not authorized anymore to go on the Turkish market and this will be really enforced, etc., etc. So this is a reminder for Turkey, but also a reminder for the European Union, because mainly, remember, if your certificate ends by the 26th of May 2024 or before, whatever, but when it ends at that moment, and you don't have an agreement with the notified body, an application signed with the notified body, then you cannot benefit from this extension of the transition period. 26th of May 2024, we are the 3rd or 2nd of April now, so mainly it's short, so you have really to contact a notified body as quick as possible. Sign, I mean, now you don't need to negotiate, sign whatever they provide you, because you have really to benefit from this extension of transition period. So yeah, don't miss this date and don't miss also look at this if you continue to sell your device after the 26th of May. If not, then by the 26th of May 2024, you should stop completely to distribute your device. You can still do that by the 25th of May, but the 26th, it's finished. So be careful of that. Okay, events now. So we talk about the events that will be coming. The May 6th, for example, we have the RAPS Euro Convergence. So if you are going, so it will be great. I'll try to go. I'm not saying I will go, but I'll try to go. So it's in Berlin, Germany. So if you want to check for events, we have created MedTech Conf. So medtechconf.com. So this is a website where we are trying to list all the events that are coming, if I can say, in the worldwide, so not only in Europe. So if you can help us also within this website, if you can just tell us, oh, this is missing or that is missing, there is a small button at a certain point, maybe it's not so visible, so I hope I will make it more visible, where you can click and you can fill a Google form where you can tell us, oh, here is an event, here is an information, etc., etc., so that we can put that on the website. Mainly the objective here is to gather as many events as possible on this page so that we can help you to know what events is close to your place and at which date so that you can go. And even if you are an organizer of events, don't hesitate to then contact us so that we can place your event on the map. It's for free, so no worry for that. So you can place it on the map. And then, publicize also about your event. So don't hesitate to do that. Thanks. So Easy Medical Device is trying also to provide additional services. And one of the additional services that we are providing now, and we talked about that also last time, is about packaging. So we are helping manufacturers. Actually, we are already doing that, like helping manufacturers about designing their packaging, designing their instruction for use, designing their labeling. So all those information that are on the product. So we are helping them to design that. But now we move the next step. So which is mainly trying to collaborate with some printing companies where we are now printing the packaging and the instruction for us and everything and then delivering that at your place. So don't hesitate to contact us if you have a project of packaging. We are not doing for the moment the packaging, the mold, the packaging with some plastic molded things. We are doing just carton packaging for the moment, but we are also looking for this kind of packaging with some provider. And as soon as we have that, we'll include that on the website. website. So go on the website, check for the services, and there is a packaging service, and you can then tell us if you have you need any of those services to make those kind of packaging. Okay, now the rest of the world, we talk about USA. So USA is banning some devices. So there is a list of devices that are banned, and there is a new device that they are banning. So first, USA on the website, they have banned three devices. The first one was prosthetic hair fibers since 1983. Then the second one is powdered surgeon's gloves since 2017. And the last one, the new one that is now under ban, is the electrical stimulation devices for self-injury use or aggressive behavior, and since March 2024. What is funny is when I read this is that only one institute in the US is using this device. I think it's a device that is made for psychiatric maybe environments where people have put some electrical on the body for making them try to realign them, I think, but I don't know exactly what's making that. But now it's banned in the US. And as said, only one institute was doing that. And what I looked is that it was already requested to be banned a few years ago, 2020, I think, but it was refused, and now they came back again, and now it is approved. So if you want to see the list of those products that are banned, so this is on the show notes. And yeah, if you have one of those products, so don't try to register them in the US because they are banned. Okay, next one is animal studies for dental bone grafting devices in the US again. So here they are giving you a guidance about how to apply animal studies for those kind of devices. So dental bone grafting devices. So inside this guidance, they tell you which kind of model of animals you should choose. They say they prefer a canine or porcine model than a rodents. They tell you also how many samples you need to have, etc. So this is important to understand that yes, it's not good to have some animal studies, but it's better to have animal studies that are then preventing some issues on humans. So it's why we have this kind of recommendation. But I know that I worked with some companies that says, no, we don't want to have any animal study. We should try to provide some products on the market without that. But sometimes it's not really possible. So we have no real choice. So we have to do that. But yeah, there are some guidances and recommendations. And here is mainly something that is provided by the US. Again, on animal studies, so there is an article that was published about deviations that were happening with the Neuralink lab, so the Elon Musk laboratory for studies mainly for Neuralink. So when you read, I mean, when you hear that, you say, oh, it has done some bad things, etc. But when you read what are the issues, so mainly there are issues that we can identify ourselves in many of the studies we are doing and maybe of the issues of the labs. Not good, it's not good, but it's not like a catastrophe or whatever. So one of the issues is the calibration of equipment that are not done, which is bad because mainly if you are not doing calibration of equipment, so how can you be sure that the data that you are collecting are correct? And second is some quality officials that are not signing some documents. So these are mainly the issues that they have identified. But you can read the article on the website of Reuters. So I put that on the show notes. So yeah. There are a lot of companies that are having higher issues than that. So it's why when I read that, I thought it would be like a disaster. But it's like average from what we are seeing when we are doing some audits. So I hope will be solving these issues. So Neuralink is a device that is trying to help people that are paralyzed, so that cannot use their members, to then communicate with the exterior. So it's a great device. I hope it will be working. But mainly, this is something that has to go through those studies, through those clinical investigation and trials. So read the article to understand more. Australia now. So Australia is providing a guidance on vigilance reporting. So how to do a recall or a non-recall. So it's how they are calling that inside the guidance. So mainly there are some information about what is a recall, how to do that. And when there is no recall, it's like maybe an information only or warning or whatever. And then they provide also a recall action template that you can use. So important, this information is important for you if you are selling in Australia, because then maybe you'll need to check that to update your procedure for vigilance reporting for Australia. So just review that. Okay, Saudi Arabia now is providing a guidance on surgical sutures. So if you are selling surgical sutures in Saudi Arabia, then here is the guidance where there are all those cheat codes inside what you should have or not. So it's providing some endpoints that you should be addressing. It's providing some the laboratories information that should be, for example, ISO IEC 17025 certified. It provides information about what kind of shelf life standard you have to use, like ASTM F1980, etc. So it provides a lot of information about what you need to do if you are if you want to register these surgical sutures on the Saudi Arabia market. Okay, Brazil now is signing an MOU, so Memorandum of Understanding, with Paraguay. So this is a bilateral cooperation for health surveillance between the two countries, also strengthening regulatory capacity. So the idea here is that try to help both countries to provide the best products for their patients. I don't know if it means also, because yeah, it says MOU, but what is inside, I don't know exactly. I don't know if it means also, for example, if a product is registered in Brazil, it can also be safely registered in Paraguay and vice versa. I don't know if this is the meaning, but it was not what is written on the article. But yeah, good. We have agreement. We have more and more agreements between countries now, so which is great. Again, Brazil, we have now a change in terms of GMP, so good manufacturing practices certificate. So if you have a GMP certificate included through the MDSAP, so MDSAP, so Medical Device Single Audit Program, then Brazil changed the rule and moved this GMP certificate from 2 years validity to 4 years validity. So this is mainly what was before it was 2 years only, but if you now have it through MDSAP, it's 4 years. Again, Brazil, if you are a manufacturer of in vitro diagnostic products for dengue diagnostic devices, then it's a good time for you, because Brazil is asking you to submit now for registration of your products in Brazil. There is apparently, they are trying to make a combat with a dengue epidemic as a matter of urgency. So yeah, if you are this kind of manufacturer, ding, ding, ding. So call your regulatory affairs department and ask them to register devices directly in Brazil, because they are waiting for that urgency. India now, so there is a change in the CDSCO. So the PSUR that you are creating, post-marketing surveillance report, which is called PSUR, so periodic safety update report, should now be sent to the authorities through the online portal. So CDSCO has created now an online portal, which is providing a lot of other services, but one of them is this one. So PSUR from the April 1st, 2024 has to go through this online portal. So go on the show notes and there is a link of the online portal and also the link of the PDF showing this this article, this new request by the CDSCO. Okay, Malaysia is now saying that they will fast forward their approval for establishment license applications. So if you want to register within Malaysia, so then they are promising, I think I didn't read the word promising, it says between 14 to 21 working days to register your company there. And on the link that I provide you also on the show notes, there is all the documents that you have to provide for that. So if you are planning to register to Malaysia, it's the right time for you. Okay, China now. So China is providing a lot of guidances. I mean, it's not the first time. We already talked about that before. But I like also to read those guidances. So, okay, it's in Chinese. So be careful. So when you go to the website of the Chinese authority, I don't know if you have Google Chrome, but I have Google Chrome and you can just click on the translate and translate everything in English. And then when you go to the document, it's all in a Word file, all in Chinese. But there is also a functionality inside the Word Office Word where you can just click and then you can translate also. So you click left, for example, on the document, there is translate, you translate it and you translate the whole document in the language English and everything will be translated in English. Then you can read carefully and check everything. So the guidances that I will talk about today are corneal topograph, laparoscopic surgery system, optical radiation safety device, and monkeypox virus nucleic acid detection agent. So if you are planning to sell or to register one of those devices in China, these are the guidances that can help you for that. So go to the show notes and click on them. Okay, now podcast nostalgia. So let's talk about the latest podcast that happened. So episode 275. So we have the FDA that aligns with QMSR with ISO 13485 with Navin Agarwal. So mainly this FDA announced that they are aligning with ISO 13485. So it means that there are a lot of, not a lot, but there are some changes that has to be done with some manufacturers. And Navin Agarwal is explaining to us mainly what are the consequences for you. So listen carefully if you are selling to the US or if you are a US company that now tries to align with ISO 13485. Next episode 276, so how to do post-marketing surveillance the right way with Steve Curran from Trinzo. So Steve Curran is a former auditor. Then he has done some review of post-marketing surveillance. So here he tells you mainly what are the main issues that we can see within post-marketing surveillance. Then episode 277, how to benefit from survey to build clinical evidence. So for with Cesare Magri from Four Better Devices. So there is a new trend now that everybody wants to do survey. So let's do a survey. But what is a survey? How to use a survey? Is it valid for every product, for everything, etc.? So we talk about that with Cesare Magri, how you can use survey to collect clinical data in the right way. Because we have some companies that use their marketing surveys to say, is my product good? Do you like the color? Whatever, which is not really collecting any clinical data. And you have some companies that are going really far with their survey. So here we talk mainly about how to do survey the right way. Okay, it was a pleasure to introduce you with this, all those updates. So don't hesitate again to go to the show notes to check mainly about all those updates. If you have any question, don't hesitate to send me an email at info@easymedicaldevices.com. And if you have a project like a quality and regulatory affairs project, don't hesitate also to contact me. So we are helping companies, consulting companies for MDR, IVDR, also FDA or any part of the world. We are also authorized representative in Europe, UK, Switzerland, and we are also providing a lot of support for other things like packaging, as we discussed, electronic quality management system. If you want to do an audit, internal audit, if you want to do a supplier audit, etc., we are here for all your activities in terms of quality and regulatory affairs. So don't hesitate to contact us at info@easymedicaldevices.com.
Munir Alamouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market.